Okay, this week we're going to begin our series, The Shaping of a Christian Woman. We did a little introduction last week about how God is our potter and we are clay in his hands, and that is our heart's desire this year at Ladies' Study, that we would simply be clay in his hands, that he would be able to shape us and to mold us, to fashion us into whatever he wants us to be, however he wants. We were praying before we came out, and someone prayed, Lord, keep us right in the center of that wheel. So we want to hop off of that wheel, that potter's wheel. So keep us in the center. So we're going to start right at the beginning. This is a kind of another type of introduction about us as a Christian woman. What is a Christian woman? And we have to start right at the beginning. So with that, turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food, and also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and so it was. And then God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So right at the beginning, God created man or mankind, and he then created male and female. Now, a lot of this might just be very basic tonight, but it's good to be reminded of these things, because God is the one who made us to be women. Each one, male and female, expressing God's image and his heart and his character, and each one in different ways. And God saw that everything was very good. You just think about the creation of the human body, and I don't understand how anyone can be a doctor, a nurse, or anyone in that whole medical field, how they can study the human body and not believe in God and not bow to worship the Creator. It's beyond my comprehension, because the human body is amazing in how it all works. Man has been studying it from the beginning and still discovering new things. They don't completely understand how it all is put together and how it all works. Now, we know from Psalm 139, it tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it tells us also in Psalm 139 that God knows each one of us individually and intimately. And he also knows us and knew us before we were in the womb. He is all powerful, he's all knowing, and he knows each one before conception. And then he's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. In Ephesians 4:10, it tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we are his masterpiece, his work of art. And let's look at a closer look at the creation in Genesis 2, beginning in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and then he put the man whom he had formed there. And then jump over to verse 15. Then the Lord took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So here he creates Adam, and he said it's not good for him to be alone. So he created then woman, or Eve, to be his helper, to come alongside of him. So God, in his creation of male and female, each bearing the image of God, and yet each so different from each other, this whole man-woman thing and the differences are amazing. And I know that a lot of people in this world, they want to not see the differences. They want to lead us to believe that we're pretty physically equal all the way around. But you know, pound for pound, and all things being equal with a man and a man simply is much stronger than a woman. It tells us that 40% of man's body weight is muscle, while only 20% of woman's is muscle. Explains a lot, doesn't it? Women have 4/5 of a gallon of blood, while men have a gallon and a half. And in one drop of blood, men have over 1 million more red blood cells than women. And the red blood cells supply oxygen to the body, where they get more energy and more strength. But woman, she has an extra layer of skin to protect her, to make her soft. So men and women are different physically, and that's obvious, although some women want to think they can, you know, take on a man, and they probably can take on some men, but all things being equal, man is much stronger. But there are also men and women, in case someone hasn't noticed yet, they're very different emotionally. It has been explained to me, now this is my... it's been explained to me, and now I am explaining it to you, so my terminology is not very technical. But in the early weeks of pregnancy, that there is this chemical that is released in male babies that separates the connecting fibers in the two halves of their brain. And the chemical washes over the right side of the brain and kind of, well, we could say maybe shrinks it or retards it or stunts it, changes it. Now, the right side of the brain is that the emotional, the sensitive, the compassionate side, and the left side is the logical side. So this is why most men, not all men, but most men tend to be more logical than most women. Most women tend to be more emotional than most men, not always, but overall. And men also tend to think only in half of their brain at one time, whereas women, we're very talented, and we can swim back and forth, left and right brain, all at once. And men, you know, they're more focused and they have more of a logical conversation, whereas you, as a woman, you know what kind of conversation you can have and how many things you can be thinking and talking about at the same time. And it really does explain a lot. And it really helps to remember this at times, because, you know, we tend to forget. We think that they should be thinking just like we are thinking. And, you know, Damien and I have conversations, we have conversations a lot, but certain types of conversations. And I will be using both sides of my brain quite rapidly. And, you know, he's right in that left brain, rarely moves over. And I'll say something and he'll look at me and say, this has happened more than once. But that isn't logical, what you just said. And my typical response is, so? Do I have to be logical? It doesn't matter. I'm perfectly fine. Makes sense to me. Oh. That's kind of how it goes. But if I was having that same conversation with one of you, you'd track with me the whole time. You know, logically, it doesn't matter. We're with you. You know, whichever direction that you go in, both have advantages and disadvantages. Several months ago, Pastor Tom and Jennifer did a home builders class on the differences between men and women. If you weren't there, you can pick up a CD of it. I recommend that. It's enlightening and also very humorous. God created men as masculine men and women as feminine. Now, I know that this world doesn't like those terms and doesn't like, they're getting everything mixed up. But we, as Christian women, need to understand that this is the way God created male and female. He did it on purpose. There's a difference on purpose. And each one expresses his image in a different way. And men are to be masculine and women are to be feminine. Now, we all have our own ideas of what that means. You know, men are masculine, you know, they kind of wore work boots and, you know, kind of all that. And, you know, have to put our little pinky up. That's not masculine and feminine. I mean, you can wear work boots and jeans, and you can even climb a pole and be quite feminine while you're doing it. We are masculine and feminine, male and female, because we were made that way, not because we've been taught it, not because it's been ingrained in us as a child, not because it's cultural conditioning. Training and influencing can either strengthen these characteristics or they can weaken them, as we see what is happening in the world today. And as Christian women, we need to be encouraging in other women and in those young girls' femininity. Now, before the fall, woman's position was to be right alongside man as his helper. And that word helper, it means to make things easier or better for another, to aid them, assist them to do part of the work, or to ease or share the labor of. And so woman was created to come right alongside man to make things easier for him. Remember that God saw Adam and said, it's not good for you to be alone. You need some help. You need a companion. You need some help here. So he created woman to come alongside, to make things easier, to share or to ease his work, to work right alongside him. And God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to tend it, and Eve was to be right alongside him, helping him in that. Now, after the fall, or after sin entered the world, things changed drastically. And in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 16, this is after Eve was deceived, after she partook of the forbidden fruit, gave it to Adam, and he ate of it too. God said to the woman in verse 16, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then he said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So after the fall, whatever God had intended for Adam and for Eve, for mankind, for male and female, everything at that point changed. Positions changed, duties changed, everything changed. The thing that didn't change was his love, of course, God's love for mankind, because he made a way of salvation through Jesus, but our positions changed. Now, the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, he gave us understanding of biblical authority. And in 1 Corinthians 11:3, he tells us, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And then he gives us the reason in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So he gives the reason why for the authority structure. Here they were in the garden side by side. Sin entered the world because of disobedience, and Eve was deceived and tempted by the devil and gave in to those feelings, took of that forbidden fruit, gave to Adam, who just went ahead and deliberately took. And so God said, okay, from now on, Eve, woman, Karen, you put your name in there, from now on, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Now you're no longer side by side. You have a head. You have an authority over your life. And man, you're going to have to work hard, 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 hard. Now, it was because of sin and then because of man's sinful heart that women continued after that to take such a low, low, low place that God did never intended to be. But sin, it doesn't stay small. It just grew and it grew and it grew. And even as you're reading through the Old Testament, we read how women were treated and how these men had concubines and all of these wives, and women were second-class citizens. Even to this day, there are certain countries or cultures that the women, they haven't come any further than that. They are ruled. They have somebody pressing them. They have no freedom, no right. This is not what God had intended at all. Not at all. And over the years, we know women have pushed and pushed and pushed, rightfully so in some areas, because it's not what God had. And when Jesus walked this earth, he treated women with respect, with kindness. He's not a respecter of person. He didn't treat men different than women. It was shocking to them. He treated them how they should have been treated all along. But some women today, some people have just gone way, way too far in pushing for their rights to elevate themselves over everyone. Now, some of us probably most of us grew up in a home where the authority structure was probably out of whack a little bit. Unless you were raised in a God-fearing, loving, godly home, most likely your authority structure there was a little bit messed up. And a lot of times, the woman rules. And because things are not the way that God intended them to be, and we grow up in those environments, in those households, it can produce some very dominating females, and it can produce some very passive males, and it can produce bitterness against the opposite sex, and it can produce disrespect and rebellion against all authority in our that is over us, and it can taint us, and then it can lead us to repeat that cycle, because what was modeled for us, now we're going to model. And the Lord, he comes in and says, no, this is not the way I intended it to be. This is not who I created woman to be. Not at all. Jesus is the one who has freed us and who made a change and who brings us to that right and true place of true femininity and biblical womanhood. I am so thankful I am a Christian woman and I am not out in that world as a woman. I would hate to think what I would be out there. You wouldn't want to know me. You wouldn't like me if it had not been for Christ and him making me into the woman that he wants me to be. Now, I am still got a lot of work. He has a lot of work to do in me. But thankful that I am in that place. Aren't you thankful that you are his and that he's changing you and he's fashioning your thinking? And it takes a long time to get rid of all of that stuff that we grew up with or that even now maybe the world is trying to pound into our thinking. The world is trying to change us and fashion us instead of the Lord. And when we truly, truly give our lives to the Lord and he is Lord over, master, ruler over our lives, which means I'm under his authority. He's the head. I am under his authority. I have given my life to him in submission to him, to his will. So when I do that, then I will know freedom. I will know what it is to truly be a woman that he wants me to be and what joy that is. And I will love the position that he has given me as a woman, as a wife, as a mom, as someone who is under authority. You know, I have a mind of my own, and I have a strong will that is sickening. And it's taken a long time, and he's still working on me, but I'm so thankful that I am under authority. I am under God's authority, and I am under the covering of my husband. In all the decisions of life, I can look to the Lord and I can say, Lord, what's your decision? What do you want me to do? And then whatever that is, then I can rest and knowing that he's going to have to take care of all the details that me as a woman left to myself would just frantically be fixing everything. You know, you just got it all together and you're worried about everything and you're just going to get all your ducks in a row and you're just going to take care of it all. I'm woman. I'm going to be in charge here. But we don't have to do that. We can rest in knowing that he's our head. We're under his authority. What a wonderful place to be. So when I am under God's authority, then I am under the authorities that he's placed over me as a wife. Then I am under my husband's authority. Or in my home, there's structure in the home, then I'm under that authority. Or in my larger family, I'm under authority. Or in my community, because there's laws and all of those things, I'm under authority. On my job, I have supervisors, I have managers, I have bosses, I'm under authority. Or in my church, I'm under authority. So when I submit to those authorities over me, whether it be a boss, whether it be an older brother in a situation, whether it be a husband, what leadership, whatever it might be, then I am submitting to the Lord because He is the ultimate authority. So that when I resist, then who am I resisting? I'm resisting the Lord and what He has for me. Now, I unfortunately know what it feels like to resist. And I'm sure each one of you know what it's like to resist once or twice, maybe when you resisted authority over you. And we think we're right. And it can be a fight. But did it ever turn out right? Did it ever turn out well? But when I rest and know that, Lord, You are my authority, You are my head, You are in charge, I do not have to worry at all. I am at rest in Him. Now that we know that there has to be authority in this life or it just doesn't work. But being under authority, being the wife or being the employee or being the servant or being whatever it might be, doesn't mean we're less of a person. Never means we're less than a person. Authority, structure, it has to do with function. It has to do with order to get things done and accomplished. Now, our calling as Christian woman, we know that men, they are called to work hard by the sweat of their brow, work hard. And we as women, we are called to be helpers. We are called to bear children. We are called to tend the home. That's what He has spoken to us in Genesis. We are called to come alongside our husbands to support them in any way that they need. God has built that within women to be that helpmate. And whether I am married or not, it's still there. This is why women are the way that they are. They're always busy helping somebody. I mean, it's within you. God has created that within us where we are nurturers. We are helpers. We always, our reaction is we want to help. We want to go in and help. We want to help this person. We want to help that person. We are helpers. We're made to help. And when we start serving in that way, it's very satisfying. It's very fulfilling. We're also called, as He said, and our bodies are made to bear children, to love them and to care for them. Man was not given that position or that job to do. We were blessed to do that. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us are actually going to have children, but it's a part of who we are as a woman. And then the other thing that because the men are to work hard, the women are to tend the home. They're to care for the home. Somebody has to do it, or life just doesn't happen. He chose us to do that. And we're told in Titus chapter 2 and also in 1 Timothy 5 that our calling as Christian women is in the home as homemakers or managers of the home. And the home is our primary place of ministry. It is the place where we influence the most. Our influence is far-reaching. And in that home, it is very, very strong. It does not matter if we are married or if we are single, if we have children or we don't have children, our calling is taking care of that home. Again, somebody has to do it. It has to be managed. And I don't have to tell you, because I'm talking to women, what that involves. It is huge. It's a small business. It's huge how you have to manage the affairs of your household and then love and care for your family. It is a huge calling, and it is our primary calling. It does not mean that we can't work outside of the home. Doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean we can't be involved in activities outside the home. What it does mean, it has to be our first priority. We can't leave and let it go just into chaos while we are managing a corporate business or doing these activities or that activities. Home has to be first. And I don't have to tell you, you know the breakdown of the family. You know what's going on in this world, and that women are no longer in their home. Many of them are forced to work. Many of you are forced to work. But that's not the issue. The issue is doing that first ministry in the home. You know, and you've heard of the Proverbs 31 woman. She was an incredible woman. She bought a field. She made some profit. She planted a vineyard. She sold merchandise. She supplied sashes for the merchants. She was a very busy woman. But did you read all the other things that she does in her home? She did not neglect the home. She watched well over the ways of her household, and her household was clothed with scarlet. She poured her life into her home. Now, our primary purpose is to know and to love and to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus all the days of our lives. So as a Christian woman, what is a Christian woman? I don't know if you had to answer that question. I don't know what you would answer it. But what is a Christian woman? It is someone, we are image bearers, as Elizabeth Elliot says. We are image bearers. We bear the image of Christ so that others can see. So that they can see him. And we have the privilege of having that relationship with him and being able to reflect him to the world around us. Having a close relationship with him is how we start. And we'll talk about more about that next week. But also being obedient to this call that he's placed on our lives. What call is that? The calling I've just talked about in us being in our home. Being under authority to the Lord, the biblical authority structure of a home, and taking care of the needs of the home, being a helper to our husband, to others, caring for our children, caring for our home, that is the greatest witness, because it's very rare. It's very rare anymore. Women are so busy going who knows where, but for the world to see a woman still in her home, loving her home, loving her husband, being a help, and taking care of her children and her home, that is a beautiful witness of the Lord. You might get mocked. You might get laughed at. You know, that very old TV show, Donna Reed, the Lord has used in my life so many times. She was just this wonderfully sweet homemaker whose husband was a doctor. He was had a very demanding job, but she took care of her home. And people today, they mock that. They look at that and they just think it's ridiculous and lame. And she needs to get a life. Yet this is what we are called to. Again, I am not saying you can't do other things. It's not what I'm saying at all. That must be in order. If we try to get that in order, you see how much your life will be blessed. So as we just, again, start this series of the shaping of a Christian woman, what this is just the beginning, to know who we are in Christ, to know that we are under His authority. He created us to be woman, to be feminine, to be a helper, to come alongside and help, to care for our family, our children, our homes. And as we do that, we will be a very strong witness of Him to this world. And then we can allow the Lord just to begin, and He probably already is in all of us, to begin shaping us in all of these areas and working all of those attitudes out of our lives and putting His word in our heart and His heart in our heart, how He wants us to be, how He wants us to speak, how He wants us to behave. So be encouraged tonight. You are a woman of God, and He wants to do something very, very beautiful in your life. And I just pray that we all just get right in line with what He wants to do. And Lord, that is our prayer, that You would erase all of those things that maybe we were raised with, maybe the things that the world is telling us right now, the lies of the enemy, silence the mocking, and help each one of us, Lord, to just rest in who we are in You, that You have created us as women, a beautiful, fearfully and wonderfully made creation of Yours, so that we can bear Your image, so that people can look at us and see You, so that people can watch us loving our husbands, being in our homes, caring for children, caring for one another, and seeing You in it. I pray, Lord, that You would work these things in our lives, and that Your peace would rule and reign in those areas where there's turmoil, where there might be resistance to some of these things, where there might be conflict with other people concerning these things. But You would empower us. And Lord, that we would be clay right in the center of that wheel and allow You to put Your hands on our lives and to start shaping us, fashioning us into who You want us to be. Open our eyes to see Your hand. Soften our hearts, Lord, and do that beautiful work. And we thank You and we praise You ahead of time for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.